If any of you have ever spoken before, and this is the weirdest feeling in the world because I feel like the message that I was going to preach to you is already been preached to you. This is a bizarre feeling right now. So, wow, thank you for all of you who are participated so far this morning. Have a few things in my heart that I would like to share with you. It's a great gift for me to be able to stand up here and talk with all of you, and thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you, Arden. It's a blessing seeing your smiling face here this morning with us. It's good to be here. I guess if you guys haven't guessed, well, I should ask you this question. What's Bruce's favorite passage of Scripture? You guys just sang it. And it's a wonderful gift for me to be able to talk with you about this, about why that passage we just sang is my heart. It's what I love. And the past few times when I've talked with you, we've talked about sharing about what is God up to in your life. And in our last episode, and in the Bruce and Kathy tag team program, Kathy gave a wonderful message last week about how we can spend a lot of time trying to avoid death, or to avoid pain, or to avoid suffering. And we do that because we're so afraid. And wonderful word last week on thinking, you know, we have to hang on to the hope of resurrection. We have to hang on to the fact that no matter where we're at, that we can still hang on to this hope. And as she was talking, I just couldn't help but think about Mr. Magoo again. So. From the last time that I spoke, remember Mr. Magoo is this cartoon character most all of us know. I guess if you're over 40, maybe, I don't know, and the younger folks don't know who he is. But Mr. Magoo was a guy who had his glasses on that were so thick he was blind, and he just never really knew where he was, but he thought he knew where he was. And I got to thinking about this and about thinking about what God is up to in our lives, and a great way that I've learned to start to think about my life with God is that it's like being on a journey. It's like being on a long trip. And in this journey, you're going to encounter a lot of different things when you're on this journey. And when you start to look at your life in that way, it can kind of make sense. Because if you look back on your life over how many years you've been living, where have you been? Where's God taken you? How's your life weaved back and forth, and what brought you to the place where you're at right now? And you know, in my life, there's been certain times where along my journey, my spiritual journey, I've had some huge aha moments. You ever have those? When all of a sudden you just hit a place on the trail, it's like maybe the trail was completely covered over with underbrush if you were hiking, and you walk through this, and all of a sudden you see this great panorama, and you think, wow, look at that. It's awesome. And you have this wonderful aha moment. And I'd like to share one of my aha moments with you this morning. And it has to do with that verse that we were just, those section of verses that we were just singing. But before I do that, I want to tell you a little bit of how my spiritual journey began. I did not grow up in a Christian home. I grew up in a home where my parents had pretty much stopped going to church by the time I was around 5 or 6 years old. So I spent the majority of my younger years not knowing much about the Bible, not knowing really much about God. I knew some vague things about Jesus, but I didn't really know much about Christianity at all. And when I became a Christian, I gave my life to the Lord when I was 18 years old, and mainly from the effect of my brother, his sharing what Christ had done in his life. And I received Jesus at 18, and I started going to church. Now, how many of you, just for the sake of discussion, how many of you here grew up in church? Okay. How many did not grow up in church? Okay. So some of you may be able to relate to me a little bit. When I first started going into church, the worship pastor would say, let's sing that old favorite hymn, shall we? Let's gather at the cross. And I'm thinking, that's an old favorite? I don't know. That's a new one to me. And so I'd have to look at the hymn book and let's sing Amazing Grace. And I didn't even know Amazing Grace. I just didn't know much. And then when the preacher would start preaching, he would say, turn to the book of Ephesians. And I sat there thinking, I feel what? And so I would just look up in my table of contents of thinking, well, what is that? Oh, Ephesians, okay, that's on page 1222. And so I'd flip to page 1222, and by the time I found it and got to it, he's already moved on. So I did what any resourceful young man of 18 would do. I got things called cheater tabs. Right? I got some cheater tabs because I was wasting way too much time trying to find it out. So this is the first Bible I ever bought. New American Standard Bible, and it's kind of worn out now, but it has my things that are called cheater tabs on it. As I look back on when I first started with Christ, walking with Jesus, my spirituality was starting to be shaped. And when I first started going to church, I'm the type of kid who thought, what's going on here? And what are people doing? Because I need to fit in here. I need to start doing what everybody else is doing, because believe me, I just didn't know. So my spirituality, as I sat and listened to the pastor give his messages, I knew that God loved the world and I knew that Jesus had died for me, but I also was learning that the world seemed to really be spinning out of control. The world was just in trouble. There were just problems everywhere. And then I started to learn too that a lot of work that God needs to get done. This world, it seemed like there was so much unfinished stuff out there and things to do. So I did what any seeking person did. I got busy. And I just dug in. And I started getting involved in ministry and I started doing things. And before long, I was leading things. I started to be able to lead Bible studies and leading worship. And man, I just got busy. Because after all, there's a lot of work to be done. And what the question is, though, as I started doing this, my spirituality, I'm looking back and thinking, what was my image of God like back then? What was my image of God like? And, well, it started off, in a way, I think it's pretty natural for new believers to believe what Richard Foster would call it, our vending machine God. And that means simply, like, when you guys go to the vending machine to buy something, you'll pull out your dollar bill, straighten it out a little bit, and just stick it in there, and then make your selection, E15, and here comes the Jujubes, you know, or whatever you're... whatever you're getting, you know, the little thing just turns. And so with God, when as a new believer, I found when I prayed for things, they happened. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, I would just ask God for some things, and voila, it was happening. And I'm thinking, God, you are amazing. I just ask, I pray, and things happen. Now, I didn't get everything, but I got a lot of things. And so I was learning that, you know, if I did the right thing, if I did the right stuff, if I was obedient and did the right things, kind of like putting my dollar in, then, God, you're happy and you're pleased with what I'm doing. So, look, here comes the candy. Here comes the blessing. Now, I don't know how long I operated in that, but it's what I like to call my little spiritual formula, A plus B equals C. Okay, for those of you math whizzes in here. A is, if I believe in Jesus, plus do the right thing, serve him with all my heart, what am I going to get? I'm going to get the blessings, right? It's a formula, and it's going to work. And you know, it's interesting because it started off that way, and it seemed like this is a pretty good formula. I'd highly recommend it to everybody. You know, this, it just works, man. It just works. Well, Richard Foster points this out in one of his books. Have you ever considered what that looks like from God's perspective? What does this look like? And when we speak about God wanting to have a relationship with human beings, does God really want to be a vending machine God? I mean, is that, and think about that as a, in a human relationship you may have. That if you do you have human relationships who are like, it, what does it feel like to be a vending machine if you're a person? Have you ever felt that way before? Where somebody just always wants something from you and they're giving things to you and you start thinking, well, could we just be friends without me just having to get you give something to me? And Foster, and I think it's beautiful, Foster points out that God allows this kind of relationship to begin this way, but it's a process of learning something out. It's a process where God says, I want to relate to you differently than your vending machine. So as I look back on my life, I went through that. I went through that stage. And then another image of God that I had, I held the vending machine God, but God kind of became to me like my foreman or my boss. Now, I worked in construction for a lot of years, and you know what used to happen every morning on the job site, right? When you sit down and you get to the job site, what do you usually do? Your foreman, you usually have a little meeting and get together and say, okay, this is what's going on today. We're going to pour the slab today, or we're going to frame these walls. It's like a briefing, right? It's like a briefing, like this is the work we got to do today, so let's lay it out. Bruce, you do this. Bob, you do this. Jim, you do this. Let's go get them. Yeah, let's go. And so we'd go at it. So I understood that, but I started to think, well, this is how God is like. So when I thought about having a quiet time with God, my quiet times with God became more of a, well, God, I'm going to open your word. You go ahead and tell me what to do today. This is it. You give me your marching orders. Let me know, and I'll just do it. Now, I had, in the past, I ran my own business in construction, and I had an employee, hardest working guy I've ever seen in my life. Just hardest working guy. At the end of the day, the guy would just be filthy, just so engrossed in this work, and he literally would just tell me, you know, you just tell me what to do, man, and I'll do it. And he was like a mirror for me, because it became a point, and those of you who've ever run a business, you realize that a person coming to you every day of just saying, just tell me what to do and I'll do it, and then you tell them, and then they come back, well, just tell me what to do and I'll do it, and you realize that, okay, this just feels like, I finally sat him down one day, and I said, you know, it would be great if, you know, we've been doing this long enough now, it would be great maybe if you could see after we stand up our walls, we brace them off, or that, and just understanding that, just kind of understanding me and what we're doing, instead of, just tell me what to do and I'll just do it today. And I could see that in him, and then I started to realize that that's how I am with God. That's how I am with God. And it's really easy for us to be this way in our Western culture, because when you think about it, we define our lives by what we do, don't we? Think about the metaphors we have in our lives. If you're describing how to have a healthy marriage, you would say, we need to build our relationship, don't we? Or we don't experience love. See, we make love. We're making something. Or the analogies of building and shaping and creating and making, it's something that drives us. And the question is that really spiritual? And I believe it's a part of our spirituality, but I don't believe it should be the bulk of our spirituality. Well, in my life, if you were to ask me about maybe 6 or 7 years ago, Bruce, what's your prayer life like? I would have probably answered you by kind of eyes going down. Well, you know, I know I could just be praying more. I probably don't spend near as enough time with God as I should. And you know what happened to me is that treating God like he was my foreman, day in and day out, pretty soon I started to feel like, God, I just never getting enough done. And it was never, ever enough. Pretty soon I started taking some days off from work because I would think, God, my image of God was that God just wasn't that happy with me. Just like, you were just behind schedule. You mean you're asking me to do this stuff again? And you know, I thought we were over this already. You got more to do. And so I began to just say, well, I don't really need to spend much time with God because I just feel bad about just getting this feeling of like never getting enough done and being behind schedule. A relationship with God as your foreman is an exhausting experience. And it shifted over, not only in my Christian life, it was serving God. I was a youth pastor. I was involved in ministry, and I was doing a lot of things, but I had this foreboding feeling inside that I'm just behind schedule. I just can't keep it up. And concurrently around this time, I realized that my formula wasn't working either. And the reason why is because I thought that if I could just do enough things for God and keep God putting my dollars in by serving him and giving and serving and doing all of ministry, that God is going to give my life blessing. And you know my story. I watched my sister get cancer and lose a Christian. My sister was a believer. Lost a 5-year battle of cancer. And 3 weeks after my sister passed away from cancer, my brother was murdered. So much for my formula. So God as my vending machine, that's not working anymore. God as my foreman, it's like, I don't even want to show up for work anymore. I remembered a story when I was a kid. I told you guys a Bill Cosby story a few times I preached. There was another one. It was a story of the Lone Ranger and his horse, Silver. And he gave the point, like, you know, imagine, if those of you who are familiar watching the Lone Ranger, you know, here's the Lone Ranger sitting around the town doing whatever he was doing, and somebody comes up and said, "Masked man, yes, the bandit's got an 8-mile lead, go get him." So the Lone Ranger goes out, gets on his horse, and says, "Hi, old Silver." And Silver turns around and says, "Wait a minute. Are you crazy? Get off my back." And he says, "Well, we got to go get the bandits." He says, "That's right, go get the bandits. How much of a lead have they got this time? 8, 10, 25 miles, you know? I'm sick of this." He said, "And you know, when you finally catch up with those nuts and they stop shooting at you and they throw their guns back at you, they don't hit you, do they? Right off of my shins." Silver rebelling against the Lone Ranger. And Silver finally just saying, "I can't do it, man. Lone Ranger, I can't do it." It's a funny story. I'm not doing near justice to as Bill Cosby could do. But you know what happened to me? My body started acting just like Silver. And it probably was the losses that I experienced, and that I just burned out. See, our lives get out of balance when we have a distorted view of who God is. And they get out of balance when we have unrealistic expectations of what we think God is supposed to be like, and unrealistic expectations of what we think God wants of us. And we get into trouble and we get out of balance. And I was really, really out of balance. A few years ago, somebody gave me that the scripture that we just sang up above, and then the scripture was taken out of Matthew chapter 11 in the Gospels. And I love the translation out of the Message, and that's what I'm going to show up here in a minute, because I believe that Jesus did not want us to live the way I was just describing to you. Jesus doesn't want to be our vending machine, or he doesn't want to be our foreman. He wants to walk with us, really wants to be our friend. And that's an amazing thing to think about, that Jesus, he wants to be your friend. And he wants to walk with you. So as I came across something. Let's see if this, which one do I push? Arden, which one? I'm not a tech person. Okay. Ah, I did it. I'm excited about this. I did a PowerPoint. Woo, man, that is so good. But I hit this point, and this is how Eugene Peterson in The Message translated that what we just sang. I want you to look at those words. Can you read them? All right. I'll read them to you. Just a squint. Are you tired? Worn out? Are you burned out on religion? Let me read them again. Are you tired? Worn out? And burned out? On religion. Sit with that and think of it a moment. I'll tell you my response. Man, I'm just burned out on living like that. A feeling like it's never enough, God, or I just can't do it anymore. I'm just like silver. I can't do it. Uh-oh. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm just going to read them to you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks, Matt. Come to me. Oh, yeah, come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Rest. Something not in my vocabulary at all. I thought it was so much to do. I thought I had so much to do, and Jesus is offering me, Bruce, I can show you how to take a real rest. How does rest sound like to you? Because that's an offer that he's not just making to me, he's making it also to you. It sounds too good to be true, actually, but it's true. Walk with me and work with me and watch how I do it. Well, this is a little bit different than doing things for God. Doing things for God or performing for God or working for God. Jesus is saying something absolutely revolutionary. He's saying, I don't want you to work for me. I don't want you to do things for me. I want you to do things with me. This is the Spirit of God saying, I want to be a part of your life. I want to do this with you. I never knew there was a difference between working for Jesus as opposed to working with him. But it's revolutionary to me because it starts to change everything. It starts to change my approach, how I walk through life, not feeling like I have a whole big list of things and I got to go get done for Jesus and then say, how'd I do? In a sense, instead, it is like, How are we going to do this together, Jesus? How are we going to do this together? Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. What goes through your mind when you think of that? Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I was taught early on in my Christian life that this world is going to hell in a handbasket. It's just depraved, and it's just going downhill, and it's just trouble. It's just nothing but problems, problems, problems. Get busy, fix them. Jesus says, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. What? And yet, when I think of this, I think God wants to teach us and to show us how powerful his grace is. And as I shared last time with you, we talked about the seasons and seeing God in each of the seasons as we walk through it. There's a beauty in God's presence is in all seasons of our lives. And then finally, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. A few things jump out at me when I look at the scriptures. When I read the scriptures in the morning, when I spend time with them, I'll pick a small portion of scripture and I'll read it. And then I'll read it again. And then I'll read it again, three times. And as I read the scriptures, what I'll do is I'll look at it and I'll say, what things pop out at me when I'm reading this? How can God speak to me as I read this? And you know what speaks to me on that last little section right there? You'll learn. Isn't that good news? It says, you'll learn. You'll learn to live freely and lightly. It means it's a process. And that means that I can take a sign and put it around my neck and say, I'm just trying to figure it out. I'm not an expert here. I'm learning. And to me, that takes a huge load off of me for feeling like I've got to perform at this level of perfection to keep God happy. You'll learn. Up above, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I kind of know the opposite of that. I know the drudgery of judgment. I can do that really well. But to learn to live the unforced rhythms of grace, well, that's something I'm learning too. I'd like you to spend a few moments and sit with this, just in some contemplation with the Lord. Read this slowly to yourself and see what might move you this morning. This is good news, isn't it? It's really good news. A few things I want to share that I'm thankful for. I'm really thankful that Jesus this morning is reminding us that we're all in process. We're still learning, and we can still grow. But not only that, Jesus cares about our life. He cares about right now if you're burned down. Maybe you're not burned out on religion, but maybe life has just burned you down, or your circumstances, whatever it is. I loved hearing this morning about the Soviet Union, how as a society, they're just weighted down. See, God cares about that. And God wants to meet each of us where we are. The tendency is to, when your life is out of balance one way, if you're a doer like I am, and you do, go, 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 the tendency is to swing really hard the other way, say, well, I'm not going to do anything, right? Just forget it. Just not going to do a thing. So now you're here. And I think what Jesus is offering is balance. And he's saying, I can teach you to do life in balance because I'm going to do it with you. Jesus lived his life in balance. When you think of how his whole life wasn't just preaching 24/7, he spent time preaching and in ministry, but he also spent time in retreat himself. He lived a life that was in balance, and he wants us to live that same way. Somebody once told me, well, when I was younger, I really looked at life in black and white. I just tended to think life is all about, it's either good or bad. That's no question about it. Things are right or things are wrong. And for many times, we live in a black and white world, and what's in between? Gray. So when we live our lives in black and white, all that we're left with is just shades of gray, like watching the Lone Ranger on a black and white TV set. God is offering us a different way to see our lives, a different way to see the world, not in black and whites and grays, but technicolor. God wants us to see our lives in color, and he wants us to live our lives in color that is a much fuller life than just being right, being wrong, being in the middle and gray. And the last thing I'd say, two things. One, I'm thankful that I'm learning how to rest. I'm learning how. Some of it's been a forced rest, but I'm learning how. And I'm also learning that I'm no longer working for God. I turned in my union card. I'm not working for God anymore. I'm really striving to work with God. And this same invitation is extended to you.